broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Hope you had a delightful weekend. A quick recap of Saturday's show. I had Richard Mack with me, and we talked about the 9/11 update review and Joel Skousen's World Affairs brief and all the problems with 9/11 and the official narrative. We talked about the congressional GOP to the DOJ. Investigate those behind the destructive violence. WorldNet Daily with that piece. We talked about Rand Paul saying that an investigation is needed to trace money given to the Black Lives Matter groups and other organizations to see if it's being used to foment violence, and I'm sure that it is. We also talked about mask up and shut up. Yeah, they say that COVID transmission would go down if we spoke a lot less and if we spoke a lot more quietly in public spaces. Why aren't more people saying so, writes The Atlantic. I've seen this story in a bunch of newspapers, so they want you to mask up and shut up. You talk too loud, you talk too much. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour 2, we talked about 9/11. Fear is the foundation of most governments, right? Writes Michael Bolton of the 10th Amendment Center. Doing a great job. Whatever happened to the 9/12 project, I asked. Yeah, Glenn Beck was popular back in the day, but now 9/12, what, deader than a doornail? Sure seems like it to me. All right, we also talked about a history professor. She was a George Washington University professor. She pretended to be black. She resigned. Jessica Krug is her name. She apologized and then admitted that she was a white Jewish woman and called herself a cultural leech. Now, I don't know why it's fine to switch genders, and that's called just, you know, preference. Or, you know, that's how you identify. But if you're a white girl, you can't identify as a black girl, huh? Very strange stuff indeed, the way our society works, I'll tell you right now. We talked about Obama's employer Netflix under fire for sexualizing 11-year-olds. Cancel Netflix is the hashtag. I guess they say the trending cuties film made by Netflix is sexualizing children. A number of media outlets have tried to paint cuties in positive light or put a great spin on it, great reviews. But it's been heavily criticized on social media, folks, where the people can have their say. Senator Tom Cotton and Representative Jim Banks have both called on the Department of Justice to bring legal action against Netflix for releasing the film Cuties. Tulsi Gabbard, believe it or not, canceled her Netflix account. She's the rep from Hawaii. She said the new released film is child pornography and is encouraging pedophiles everywhere. And believe it or not, so Cuties is the latest sexualization agenda by Netflix. Before that, years ago, they put together 13 reasons why teen suicide rates spiked after the Netflix 13 reasons why, according to CNN, highlighting a study. In the UK, a gay, lesbian, bisexual mob threatens to burn down a church. Cops stand down and blame the pastor. They say he needs to be nice to the gays. Barack Obama says California's wildfires are an example of how climate change is impacting American citizens. Nancy Pelosi jumps on the bandwagon, blamed climate change for the wildfires. in California and Oregon and such on MSNBC. California governor on the wildfires. No patience for climate change deniers. So there you have the recap of the news the networks refuse to use, folks. We live in a very evil world. We better stand for God, family, and country while we have the opportunity. We better stand tall while we can. That's for sure. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday with Sam Bushman and the good sheriff. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Yesterday was the Sabbath, as you know. It was Sunday. But do you know what else it was, Kurt?
It was the 13th of September.
Yes, you don't know what day it was, though? You know, all these days, Kurt, they do these, you know,
I know, I should
days that they signify and stuff. You don't know?
National Gopher.
No, come on, Kurt.
Be kind to your gopher day. I mean, it's just
Sunday,
kind of tough.
Sunday, September 13th, yesterday, that's 2020, was Happy Grandparents Day in honor of Grandparents Day. People are celebrating the love, the wisdom that our elders bring to our lives. I thought it was kind of a cool day.
Well, I'm not against it. It's just, you know, there's so many, like, LGBT weekend or LGBT.
I know, but this is a good one for a change.
I know. I mean, you know, but that's why you don't hear about it, I guess. Huh?
Probably. Yeah, I had to hunt it down there. Anyway, I'm glad I found it. I'm glad, you know, it's we're celebrating actual proper relationships day, was what it ought to be called.
I mean, imagine
parents, grandparents, husbands, wives, children, you know, the traditional family stuff. It's phenomenal.
Good point.
All right, without further ado, Lowell Nelson, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, and I hope you celebrated Grandparents Day yesterday, buddy.
Well, I guess I did without knowing about it.
That is correct. We do that every day, don't we, sir?
Yes, we certainly do. Grandparenting is awesome.
Yes, it is. By the way, you went on an Oregon coast tour, didn't you?
Last week, my wife and I flew into Medford, Oregon last Sunday, spent 4 days there, mostly along the coast. We spent part of Monday at a shooting range with a 9mm handgun. That was a lot of fun. And, of course, we saw the big cats at Cave Junction. Big cats. We're talking tigers, lions, jaguars, leopards, all kinds of feline fur. I was flying that day.
Yeah, you felt like you were Dorothy, didn't you? You're like lions and tigers. And...
Right. I got some great pictures. Yeah, they just have this zoo out in the middle of nowhere, and it's just filled with felines. Saw one cat, the last of its kind in the world, basically. It was one of 20 cats left in the world, and they really have no hope of propagating the species. So we saw it with our own eyes, a cat breed that... is probably going to go away unless some miracle happens. I mean, once the herd goes down to fewer than several thousand, then it's almost impossible to find a mate for a cat who, you know, that's not within its direct line.
Yeah, it's kind of like females in China, buddy.
Anyway, the forest fires out there, that was a big story on our trip. I mean, it was so many forest fires, they even closed the road back to Medford, which forced us to take a different route, adding about half of the day, you know, 4 or 5 hours to our travels. The sky was dark in the middle of the afternoon, Sam, as we traveled up one side of the mountain range, and then clear and bright on the other side of the range as we came out of the smoke. It was really bizarre and sad that so much of the timber was burned. You know, one fire we heard, and it was reported at LouRockwell.com, but we heard about it earlier in the week. It had surrounded a number of people, several hundred, in fact, camping in a certain area in California, Northern California, I believe it was, who found safety in a lake. They actually had to dive into a lake, and they were talking about going under, you know, over and over repeatedly just to save themselves from the heat and the embers of the forest
fire. And the smoke inhalation as well.
Yeah, it was raging on all sides. Unfortunately, they had a couple of copters, a Chinook and one other copter that came in and airlifted them out of danger, you know, one by one, or maybe, I guess the Chinook was pretty big.
Yeah, the very experienced pilot on that was like, man, that was some of the most intense flying I've ever done.
Oh, man, it was pretty incredible. They were warned not to do it, and they said, heck with the official word, we're going in anyway to rescue these people, and just brought them out, you know, several dozen at a time, but just, you know, heroic in their efforts to save people from the forest fire. So anyway, great trip. The other observation we had was it was so good to return to Utah, where masking in public is only a recommendation and not a requirement. I mean, over in Oregon, it seemed like everybody, every store required you to wear a mask. And so basically from the time we entered the airport until the time we exited the other airport, except for a few minutes where we ate something on the plane or in the terminal, we had to wear a mask. It was just, I mean, like I said, it was good people, beautiful country, but just suffocating masking requirements.
Well, that's Lowell. Just a little tip. Also traveled over the weekend, and I would recommend you always keep something close by to eat, because then you've got the permission to take off your mask. So you just tell them you're eating all the time. Hold a little carrot in your hand, have a little piece of popcorn available, whatever. But the eating gets you out of the constant masking. You know what I mean?
There you
go.
That's
a great tip.
Ladies and gentlemen, but Lowell Nelson, even though he was 5 hours delayed on his trip, he got back in time to go to the Utah Republican Central Party committee meeting for the state of Utah. He's got an update on that in seconds on your radio. And he doesn't even have his mask on right now.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with us. So you rolled in just in time to hit this, all-central Utah Republican meeting, right?
Right. The Utah Republican Party had a central committee meeting last Saturday. That's just 2 days ago, over the weekend there. It was electronic, and two items of interest I think that our listeners would be interested in. One was the reference, the frequent reference to September 11, basically the 9/11 attacks. But instead of focusing on 9/11, most of the people in their presentation spoke about 9/12, meaning the day after 9/11. And what they emphasized was what happened on September 12th. the way Americans responded to the events of September 11th, basically that the nation, you know, came together in prayer, collectively speaking, the great feeling of unity that swept the country. And in contrast, we are not doing that in response to COVID, quite the opposite. We have government lockdowns, we have masking edicts, urban violence, lawlessness at every on every side, and even a book entitled In Defense of Looting was mentioned. Now, we ought to be praying, folks. We should be praying for one another, for our sheriffs and our governors and our other public servants, for protection and for wisdom. I mean, we, you know, why are we responding differently to this COVID thing than we are to 9/11? I mean, that was the central question. I think it's a good question. And you've mentioned many times on this show, Sam and Kurt, about the need for prayer and about turning to our Heavenly Father for guidance, for wisdom and protection. That's really what we have to be doing regardless of the emergency, whether it's 9/11 or whether it's COVID or whether it's an earthquake or whether it's a forest fire. Prayer is really what we need as a nation to turn us around and merit the blessings of heaven that we seek. The other thing that came up was during Attorney General Sean Reyes's report, and I'm not just singling him out. There were reports from congressional, from members of Congress, too, but I single him out because he talked about legislation that failed to receive approval from the Utah legislature, and so he began pushing that legislation in Congress. Now, at first brush, you might think this is courageous of him or noble of him or a leader, and being a leader of him, but think about this for a second. In fact, consider some of the recent news headlines on his website. Quote, Attorney General Reyes urges President Trump to support the National Child ID Program to protect children. That's one headline. Second headline, Attorney General Reyes to Congress, quote, expand funding for crime victims, end of quote. And you know, just the headlines go on and on. And that is evidence to me, Sam, that he simply does not understand that Congress has no authority for any such act. The state did not vest in Congress the authority to identify children or to provide funding for victims of crime or to extend death or disability benefits to safety personnel who die or are disabled in the line of duty. Now, this may sound harsh to those who do not understand the proper role of government, but state governments possess this authority, not the general government. It's a general misunderstanding of the proper role of our general government when compared to that of our state government. And I find it just permeates our federal delegation. You know, I think Mike Lee understands it better than anybody, but most of our members of Congress do not understand the proper role of our general government. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Great updates. Now, did you talk about this incredible potluck you went to? I guess it was for a PAC?
It was a little bit different. And no, I haven't mentioned that yet, but I want to, because Saturday night, I actually spent some time Saturday afternoon politicking for a candidate. But then in the evening, I attended this potluck social in Syracuse, Utah, sponsored by a group called the Platform Republican PAC, of which I am a member. In full disclosure, I'm a member. I'm a board member of this PAC. And so I feel like I can talk about it because I've been on many a call with the board of this PAC. Now, what do we do? Well, we were formed last year, or maybe the year before that. Anyway, we raised money, we vet candidates, and then we identify a number of candidates to support at conventions this year, and in the primary election, and now in the general election of this year. The reason I mention this, Sam, is because I would hope that our listeners would form similar groups in their states, or if they live in Utah, join this group, because we are vetting candidates in, who adhere to or are loyal to the platform of the Utah Republican Party. The party has an excellent platform, but most Republicans elected in this state vote as though they have never read the platform. For example, the platform says this. It says, quote, "We strongly oppose the forfeiture of private property from innocent owners," end of quote. And yet, what do legislators do? They still support civil asset confiscation, euphemistically called forfeiture, of course. So that's just one example, and there are many, many more. But anyway, just reporting on what we did there Saturday night, well, we reported to the group. There's about 35 to 40 people in attendance there. We reported that about half of our candidates survived convention. Half of them then went on to win their party races. And so now we're whittled down to about half a dozen candidates we are supporting in the general election. And we believe most of them will win the general election. At least we hope so. Now, why is this a good idea? Well, because it helps to put the reins of accountability in the hands of the people, as opposed to the lobbyists who rub shoulders with our legislators all the time. He who pays the piper calls the tunes, right? You've heard that saying before. So a legislator who has our support will be far more likely to remain beholden to the citizens who assisted in his election than to the lobbyists who pile on afterwards. So it also gives courage to the citizen who maybe is hesitant about running, but who has the power and the monetary support of a PAC like ours behind them. It gives them the courage to actually make the run and punish the establishment candidates who are seeking re-election, for example. And so we're hopeful, Sam, that we'll be able to put about a half a dozen good legislators, citizen-oriented, grassroots-supported legislators into the Utah legislature this year at the general election, Sam. That's our hope. That's what we're about. And I hope that other people in states around the country will do the same. You know, we have to take our turf back. We have to expend the resources, whether it's time or whether it's money or both. Why? Because we want those legislators beholden to us, the people, not to the lobbyists. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you get together a PAC. You get together a group who adheres to the platform. You get together an understanding of, hey, this stuff takes money to elect good, honest Americans who aren't beholden to some special interest group. And in my opinion, this is the real answer. Good people coming together and saying, listen, we're transparent. We have a published platform. We want to measure candidates against that platform. How well will you adhere to that platform should you get elected? And then making sure that they focus on and promote and fund those who will truly make a difference. Please get involved in a similar idea in your area. That's the whole reason we bring it up. Look, this is just a Utah thing. Doesn't apply to the nation and to the world. Or does it? And I say that it does because you need to think similarly. If you have a platform for a party, then you need to make sure those who serve at the behest of that party will obey the platform. And if they won't, they need to be gone. There's a big disconnect in America that this kind of an idea, this kind of group, solves. All right, Ron Paul is on fire this week, lol.
He really is, Sam. I noticed that he filed not just his Monday column at the campaignforliberty.org website, but three columns in a row, Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday. So, man, he is really concerned about things that are going on in our country, Sam, and I'll be happy to talk about that after this upcoming break.
The Fed's brilliant plan, more inflation and higher prices. No doubt about that. We need to audit and end the Fed. Even Trump has hinted at it. Come on, let's get it done, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least 35 people are dead and millions of acres burned in wildfires across the West, the majority of deaths in California. President Trump will be in California today to get a first-hand look at the devastation. Meanwhile, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says the Trump administration isn't doing enough to help the state.
Leadership at the very top needs to be earlier, stronger, and from the president, I wish that we would get as much attention not based on an electoral map, but just purely on being Americans.
He was speaking on CNN's State of the Union. Tropical Storm Sally churning towards the northern Gulf Coast. It's expected to gain strength before making landfall late tonight or early tomorrow as a Category 1 or 2 hurricane. Mandatory evacuations in place for parts of southern Mississippi. The governor there has told residents the time to get out is now. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I've always taken care of myself. I always cook my own food. I just was losing steam, which is very unusual for me. And I said, you know what? A lot of our foods, they don't have the nutrients they did 100 years ago. So I took a chance with Balance of Nature, and I see a difference. Before I took Balance of Nature, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I found myself napping. Well, that's not happening anymore. I finally found something that's the real deal. And I'm just very happy with Balance of Nature.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
A $100,000 reward now being offered for information about the suspect who ambushed and shot two Los Angeles County deputies on Saturday. The two are still in critical condition. A senior re-election advisor to President Trump says the coronavirus pandemic won't be the main factor which drives a voter's choice this November.
The ultimate driver of the electoral decision for most Americans is going to be what it typically is. Who can create prosperity for me, for my family, and for this country going forward?
President Trump signing an executive order to lower the cost of drugs in the U.S. to the level paid in other countries, tweeting, "The days of the rest of the world free riding at America's expense are over." He said drug prices are already coming down quickly.
And on that score, the president has a compelling story to tell.
On Fox News Sunday, Steve Cortez said Americans will be thinking most about which candidate will bring about good economic times for them and the nation. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org with us. We're talking about these incredible articles Ron Paul wrote. I mean, it's amazing the amount of detail Ron Paul writes. Normally he writes one column a week. This time he busted out three in a row. Lowell?
In his first column about the Fed, he talks about the recent announcement by the Fed to abandon what they call inflation targeting, right, which is basically a Fed policy they've maintained for decades, which is to maintain price inflation rates of up to 2%, right? That's what they've done, inflation targeting. They actually seek to inflate the money supply such that they obtain an inflation rate of 2%. It's the systematic policing of the people, basically, Sam. The middle class suffers because we lose 2% of our money per year, right? 2% is the value of our money. It's a systemic theft. It's one of the reasons why we need to audit and then end the Fed. But, okay, so getting back to this column here, with this change, this recent announcement, they are going to allow inflation to remain above 2% to, quote, balance out periods of lower inflation, end quote. Yeah, right. They basically, this is a signal that you and I both understand is an acknowledgement that the Fed is unlikely to reverse course, and basically they will not stop increasing the money supply anytime soon. They're basically giving themselves permission to increase the money supply so much so that we'll now see, instead of 2% rate of inflation, it'll bump up to 3 or 4 or 5, and they won't really have a reason to tether it down or to choke it back down to 2%. So contrary to what most mainstream economists claim, a general increase in prices is an effect, not a cause of inflation, right? Inflation occurs when the central bank creates money, which is what they've been doing by creating this digital, inflating the money supply. They just print the money, right? That's all they do. Increasing the money supply, Ron Paul continues, lowers interest rates, which are the price of money. So this distorts the market, creates a bubble, and provides the illusion of prosperity. This illusion lasts until the inevitable crash. Continuing, he writes, once the lockdowns end, the Fed's action may lead to a short-term boom. However, the long-term effect will be even more debt, continued erosion of the average American standard of living, and the collapse of the fiat monetary system and the welfare warfare state. The crisis will likely be brought on by a rejection of the dollar's reserve currency status. This will be supported both by concerns about the stability of the U.S. economy and resentment over America's hyper-interventionist foreign policy. The question is not if this current system will end, he writes. The question is how it will end. If the end comes via a meltdown, the result will likely be chaos, violence, and increased support for authoritarian movements as desperate people trade their few remaining liberties in hopes of gaining security. However, if pro-liberty Americans are able to force Congress to begin cutting spending, starting with the money wasted on militarism, and to move towards restoring a sound and sane monetary policy that includes ending the Federal Reserve, then we can minimize an economic crisis and begin restoring limited constitutional government, a free market economy, and respect for liberty, end of quote.
But if we remain on the current track we're on, though, you can expect, ladies and gentlemen, more inflation and higher prices. And then Ron Paul in his second column writes, the cure is worse than the disease. Forced vaccinations, digital immunity certificates, and contact tracing apps are just the start, lol.
You're right, Sam. He writes, I'm very concerned politicians in Big Pharma are just a few short weeks away from stripping away your health freedom in favor of profits for vaccine makers. The plan is coming from several states, including Virginia and Ohio. They want to strip away rights from those who have not been vaccinated. And Congress has ideas about national mandates carried out with force. Well, he reminds us, Sam, that in the first week, when his first week of service in the U.S. House of Representatives in 1976, he cast one of the two votes against legislation appropriating funds for a swine flu vaccine. That was a big story that year, and so there was what they rushed to the public was a vaccine that caused about 50 people to contract what is called Guillain-Barre syndrome. Guillain-Barre syndrome. Anyway, it's a potentially deadly form of paralysis. And the vaccine was later shown to have increased the odds of contracting that disease by 4 times. So basically,
but Lowell, remember, Lowell, that's how you know it's safe and effective.
Exactly. He asked us if we're going to repeat history with a COVID-19 vaccine. There is tremendous pressure building right now, as you well know, to produce a potentially dangerous vaccine before the general election, now just 2 short months away. What's worse, Ron Paul writes, is that Big Pharma is now colluding with software magnate Bill Gates of Microsoft created a digital certificate to prove that you've been vaccinated. He also warns the contact tracing apps being downloaded to our cell phones via operating system updates. This healthcare bureaucracy would now have access to your personal and private data so that they can track you and trace you electronically to see if you've come in contact with somebody who had the virus. And if that happens, boy, you're going to need to go into quarantine. That would be a huge assault on our liberty, folks. I mean, states like California have already got laws on the books requiring children to receive a full vaccine schedule in order to attend school. That's really a whopping 35 vaccines in their first 6 years of life, according to the CDC's website. Well, California's law is especially terrifying because it creates a vaccine database of all children destroying their medical privacy for life and allowing bureaucrats to bully their parents into making sometimes disastrous health choices just to stay in school. Well, if that type of law ever passes in other states, Ron Paul writes, big government will be inside our homes in ways we never thought possible.
So, and then Ron Paul ties this to a unique patient identifier. You know, we thought we got rid of this stuff, lol, but no, it's back, right?
Yeah, we thought we got rid of it because for years and years, Ron Paul and others in Congress refused to allow for this national unique patient identifier. But just last year, Congress, they approved it again. And so basically, Congress is now free to create a plan where a unique patient identifier, so that you're going to lose your medical privacy for good. And so it's been spurred by this coronavirus panic, basically. And this unique patient identifier authorized in 96, but the appropriation bill since 98 contained a provision forbidding the federal government from developing the identifier. Unfortunately, they recently voted to repeal the ban, so they now have authority, they claim, to put this unique patient identifier into play. And it's actually part of the game plan for those in power. And so finally, in this column, Dr. Paul, who always is so profound, he writes this, Sam. He says, quote, politicians and bureaucrats cannot eliminate a virus any more than they can eliminate terrorism. Wow. Think about that quote. That is so true. And yet what's the common misunderstanding that people have? They think the government is going to eliminate a virus. That's what they think, just like they think we can eliminate terrorism. That's common. Well, he continues on. He says, quote, what they can do is use terrorism, a virus, and any other real exaggerated or manufactured crisis to extend their power at the expense of our liberty. End of quote. I absolutely love his candor, Sam, his common sense. He wasn't writing anything new last week in these three columns. But it's common sense stuff that bears repeating because we haven't yet stopped Congress from stealing our freedom. Final paragraph of his third column here, quote, politicians will never resist the temptation to use crises as excuses to gain more power. Therefore, it is up to those of us who know the truth to spread the message of liberty and to grow the liberty movement. A strong liberty movement is the only thing that can force the politicians to stop stealing our liberty while promising phantom security from terrorists and viruses, end of quote. So, Sam, we must be part of that strong liberty movement, folks. We do not delay one more day on this. Please join us in the sacred cause of liberty.
Amen today. To that. COVID-19 or COVID-9-11? Gary D. Barnett breaks us down in a very serious, I'm trying to think of what word to use here.
Sobering.
Set of sobering charges against the elite. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. I compared 9/11 to the COVID almost as the bookends of the loss of liberty in America. Others are doing a similar thing. Gary Barnett busts out and indicts the elite big time, Lowell.
September 11th, he says, was the jumpstart for what is now an accelerated agenda by the ruthless elite. It was a staged war pretext, no different from the sinking of the Lusitania, the provoking of Pearl Harbor, and the Gulf of Tonkin lies. In fact, if 9/11 wasn't a planned war pretext, it would be the exception to the rule. It has been used to launch two unprovoked illegal wars, one against Iraq and one against Afghanistan. However, he writes, 9/11 was a pretext for another war as well, the war against you. The Patriot Act, Homeland Security Act, the Military Tribunals Act, and other legislations are completely and entirely designed to destroy your civil liberties and to limit your ability to fight back against what is coming. He writes, currently in the United States, unannounced to most brainwashed Americans, your home can be searched without a warrant, without your being home. You can in turn be arrested with no charges revealed to you. You can be detained indefinitely with no access to a lawyer and legally tortured, all under the suspicion that you might be a terrorist. Let's recognize how history repeats itself. End of quote. End of his opening to his article. Pretty sobering, in my opinion.
Sobering. It's full of indictments. He continues and says this new false flag called the COVID-19. Was long ago designed in order to affect global dominance by the few over the rest of us. Will this be a successful coup? Will the people of this country allow and acquiesce to the will of tyrants? Will they allow that to happen? Fair questions, Lowell.
Great questions, Sam. I love them because they're thought-provoking questions. Several more he asks are, will the people allow for the continued murder of their families and neighbors by the state? Will the people continue to hide from themselves and the truth? Will the people never fight back? Will the people allow themselves to become the serfs in a society ruled by kings? Wow. Hot questions, important questions. And how are we going to answer those questions? Well, I hope you're with us in this fight. Because he ends his column this way, quote, that is what is coming. And there is only one thing standing in the way of the oppressors, and that is mass resistance by, well, he says the majority, but I don't believe it takes a majority, only an irate, tireless minority. But you and me, that's the mass resistance he's talking about. He writes this last sentence, without the courage to fight against the ruling class, we will soon be left with nothing and will have allowed our own servitude, end of quote.
In other words, did he say mass resistance or mass resistance?
Nice play. Yeah, mass resistance. He talked about, numerous numbers of people resisting.
Unmasked
what he was talking about.
Mass resistance, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
All right.
In other words, He's putting the responsibility for liberty squarely on the shoulders of those who will either claim it and win it, meaning those involved in the cause of liberty, or those who apathetically let it slip from their hands. The answer is us, folks. It's you and me. We get to decide for generations beyond us whether or not we will live in a land of liberty or a land of tyranny. That's
and John W. Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute has a similar narrative, completely different in its focus, but the principles are the same, which is, hey, they've used these false flags against us over and over and over, and now we're seeing COVID to be one of these. But he calls it mile markers of tyranny. Yeah, we're losing our freedoms on the road from 9/11 to COVID 2019, lol.
The USA Patriot Act, approved right after 9/11, laid the groundwork for what he calls the eradication of every vital constitutional safeguard against government overreach, corruption, and abuse. The COVID-19 pandemic, with its lockdowns, mask mandates, surveillance, snitch lines for Americans to report their fellow citizens for engaging in risky behavior, and veiled threats of forced vaccinations, has merely provided the architects of the American police state with an opportunity to flex their muscles. Free speech, the right to protest, the right to challenge government wrongdoing, due process, a presumption of innocence, the right to self-defense, accountability and transparency in government, privacy, press, sovereignty, assembly, bodily integrity, the representative government, all of these and more have become casualties in the government's ongoing war on the American people. In the process, he writes, the American people have been treated like enemy combatants, to be spied on, tracked, scanned, frisked, searched, subjected to all manner of intrusion, intimidated, invaded, raided, manhandled, censored, silenced, shot at, locked up, denied due process, and killed. What the past 20 years have proven, he writes, is that the U.S. government poses a greater threat to our individual and collective freedoms and national security than any terrorist, foreign threat, or pandemic.
And you know what the saddest part about this is, Lol?
What?
You can't argue against his point.
No, that's the sad part, Sam. In allowing ourselves to be distracted by terror drills, foreign wars, color-coded warnings, partisan politics, pandemic scares, and other carefully constructed exercises in propaganda, sleight of hand, and obfuscation, he writes, we failed to recognize that the U.S. government, the government that was supposed to be a government by the people, of the people, yeah, of the people, by the people, for the people, has become the enemy of the people. Whitehead then lists each of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the list of prohibitions, basically, and explains how each has been eviscerated. And it's not pretty, folks. We probably don't have time to go into all 10 of them, but I ask the question, is the Constitution hanging by a thread? It is. Can it be saved? Well, only if enough of us, which again, an irate, tireless minority, only if enough of us stand forth to preserve it, Sam. We got to do it. We must do it. We do it how? Well, we do it in our homes, teaching our children and our grandchildren. We do it in conversations with our neighbors. We do it in legislative assemblies, courts of justice, and offices of government administration. These are my words. Each of us can do and must do a little bit every day in this sacred cause of liberty, Sam.
We do it all on our knees in prayer to the Almighty, and then we do it all by standing up and saying, Lord, how would you use me to stand for the sacred cause in preserving liberty until the Savior, Jesus Christ, your only begotten in the flesh Son. How do we get that done, Lord? Tell me and I'll do my part. It's going to take all of us, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, if we had 50,000 lols, I think we could get it done, couldn't we?
Well, yeah, but I thought all this freedom stuff was all taken care of by the Founding Fathers. Pretty much after that, we just kind of, you know, go down.
I have one answer to this. Ask the Australians about that, lol.
Yeah, good
point. Especially the Australians in Victoria, the state of Victoria, which is, by now, a police state. 2 weeks ago, Sam, a 28-year-old pregnant mother named Zoe Bueller was arrested by police in Victoria for posting on Facebook. What did she post? Well, you listen to this and see if you think that her arrest was warranted. She wrote this, quote, "Peaceful protest," all in caps, those two words, peaceful protest. And then she writes, "All social distancing measures are to be followed so we don't get arrested, please." And then her next to last sentence, "Please wear a mask unless you have a medical reason not to." And then her last sentence, "September 5th is Freedom Day," all in caps, Freedom Day. September 5th is Freedom Day. That is in her entire post on Facebook. Four simple sentences dripping with peace, right? With doing whatever it takes so that we don't get arrested. Wearing a mask unless you have a medical reason not to, right? Well, what happened? Victoria Police, they saw those words as criminal activity. Incitement, they call it. They arrested her for incitement, right? Just simply planning and encouraging a peaceful protest is incitement in Victoria now. So Bueller is now due to appear in court in January of next year. She could be jailed for up to 15 years because she incited unrest, Sam. Well, not only that, but the reaction of Australian politicians to Bueller's arrest is even more worrisome. Assistant Commissioner Luke Cornelius, one of Victoria's most senior police officers, said he was, quote, "absolutely satisfied," end of quote, with the arrest. The only thing he regretted was the video and the optics of the arrest of a pregnant woman, which he said were terrible. So he said that the optics were terrible, but not the fact that she was arrested. So it's an astonishing change of attitude from Cornelius, because Victorians remember in June, just a couple of short months ago, when he said of the then imminent Black Lives Matter protests that he and the police absolutely understand the sentiment and the anger that lies behind that. And he says, "We are very keen to support the community in giving a voice to their concerns." Well, the authorities promptly allowed over 10,000 Victorians to march in Melbourne without being fined, without being arrested. Talk about the hypocrisy, Sam. Well, it's okay if 10,000 BLM supporters voice their concerns, but not for any lockdown protesters like Bueller. The message is very clear. If you're going to protest, it better be for a cause that the elite support.
And I'll tell you what, we're starting to see this contrast so extreme in Australia, but around the world, though, it seems like the whole world understands this tyrannical move that is synchronized and coordinated across the globe. If you stand for liberty in any way, shut them down. Heavy hand. You want to promote anarchy and dishonesty and the destruction of property and life, and let them rage. They've got their freedom, so to speak. And there seems to be a global understanding or coordination between nations on this reality check. Lol.
Yes, unfortunately, that is precisely what's happening. There's a few pockets of liberty, like in Sweden, where they chose not to lock down. South Dakota, they chose not to lock down. There are a few states around that, you know, and I think Vietnam, somehow they did. They're not suffering at all from this virus. So somehow they're getting it done, and we simply have to allow people their freedom. It's their birthright, and it's what ought to be done, Sam.
The reason we're in the trouble that we're in is because the people won't repent. Back in 9/11, 9/12 was interesting. That's why they named the group 9/12, because it represented prayer and a humility and a turning to God and a repentant attitude. We don't see that this go-round of crisis, and it spells trouble for the future if we don't change our ways and do it quickly. Final word to you, Lowell.
I'll use the words of Whitehead ending his column. He said this, "Some argue that we need to make America great again. I, for one, would prefer to make America free again." Sam?
Godspeed, sir. Thank you so much. Lowell Nelson, everybody. CampaignForLiberty.org. All right, without further ado, News the Network's Refused to Use continues. Hour one of the Can 2 coming up. God save the Republic of the United States of America.